listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network.
How can you be the freest country in the world when you lock more of your own people in cages than any other country in the world? The lesson of 9/11 should have been to never fund another young rebel group in this part of the world again. America started as the smallest government in history, and it's become the biggest government in world history. At the end of the day, it's all about freedom.
Here's your host, Dave Smith.
Why, hello. What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I'm back. Back from a nice little vacation. I apologize for not having an episode out on Friday. But you know, I was on vacation, had some technical issues away, and you know, I'm the most consistent motherfucker you know. So this is how things go. Anyway, my wife is 6 months pregnant, and we had an opportunity to go take a little vacation. So that's an important thing to do. You know, life, family comes first. Isn't that what Adam Sandler said in that Remote Control movie that didn't do very well?
I'm not sure he's the guy to take life lessons from, but
oh,
sure.
Oh, put on your yarmulke. It's time to celebrate Hanukkah.
That's the best holiday of them all.
It sure is.
You know why?
Why is that?
It was simple. You just have to light a menorah and you're done. It's not like days in synagogue or other stuff. It's real simple.
That's
and you get some gifts. It's nice.
Eat some
latkes.
Like the majority of our audience, I don't spend days in synagogues for any holidays. But I do like Hanukkah. It's not all this fancy schmancy. We need a big tree. We need a big story about Kris Kringle or whatever it is.
Is that what that story's about?
You just have some matzah.
That's the wrong holiday.
Wait, that's the wrong one?
Yeah, that's Passover. Come on.
Okay, that's a good point. But it is made out of Christian children's blood, right?
Well, in both holidays, you still got the Christian blood. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
It wouldn't be a Jewish holiday without some Christian blood.
Okay. As long as we're on the same page with that one, then I think we're good. Well, how are you, Rob? I've missed you.
I've missed you as well, buddy. Dude, I got a tooth pulled today. It sucked.
And you still made it in.
Of course I made it. I don't miss work for nothing. But,
I mean, you tried to, but I made you come in.
Well, thanks for calling me out on that one.
Got a tooth pulled.
Yeah, it was brush and floss, kids. It's worth it. Otherwise, I might try this joke on stage, but I feel like my teeth were looking at my hair, and they're like, if that guy's not showing up for work...
Yeah, no, you should absolutely try that. Maybe reform it a little
bit.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out.
Really retool that baby.
The whole thing. Maybe just don't do it.
Or you know what, for that matter, maybe just bail on
it. It's just not one of the winners.
Oh, that a tooth pull, that doesn't sound fun.
No, it was not fun.
It doesn't hurt during the procedure.
No, no, it hurt.
Really?
Yeah. It hurt enough that I either fainted because I was being a pussy or because I was trying not to, like, you know, ignore the pain.
Wow.
Yeah, I went out, man.
Wait, so they didn't put you out. You just fainted?
Yeah, I fucking went out. It hurt so much.
What time was this?
It was in the morning.
Oh, Jesus.
Like 11 a.m.
Oh, you should have put that in your text.
I'm up now.
All right, fair enough.
Ready to go with a hole in my mouth.
You get any good scripts?
No, I had such a bad drug addict moment with this guy because he goes, all right, listen, we're going to prescribe you something. I'm like, great, what do you got? And so he goes, Vicodin. I'm like, doc, that stuff makes me sick. What else can we do? And he's like, well, that's it. I can prescribe you Vicodin. I'm like, well, how about the Percocets? I just totally my cards.
You just know? Oxy? Perks?
Yeah. I'm perks or nothing. I don't need that Vicodin shit. There's nothing fun about it.
Is Vicodin not fun?
Not in my opinion.
All right. Well, look
so
at that.
Kids at home, remember, brush and floss. Don't tell that joke on stage. And it's either Percocets or nothing.
And they're not even going to give you the good stuff.
No.
So there's no upside to not brushing and flossing.
Well, not at all.
All right. That's good. We started the show off with a good positive message for the kids. All right. So I've been out of town this week. The last episode that I had with Chris in was pre-recorded. So I've been away for a little while. And of course, the week I go out of town is a huge news week and a lot of stuff happens. So we're gonna cover all of it. I'll get to the guilty verdicts or pleas surrounding Trump's former, you know, cabinet members and his personal lawyer and all that stuff. I'll give you my thoughts on that. But first, I thought we would start out with the passing of John McCain. John McCain, one of the most famous senators, ran for president a couple times. I believe in 2000 he ran. and then was the Republican nominee in 2008, and was sick for a while now, and he passed away just a few days ago. So I thought we would do a little part of the problem obituary to the great hero, John McCain, champion of liberty, a human rights supporter, and all that other stuff. You know, Rob, I gotta say, and I really don't want this to come off the wrong way, because I'm not celebrating John McCain's death. I'm not somebody who's, I take no pleasure in him dying. And in, you know, and I've seen a lot of people who are kind of on our side politically, who are taking pleasure in him dying. And, you know, that's just not my take on the whole thing. It, much in the same way, if someone who was a murderer was convicted and given the death penalty, I don't really celebrate when they die. It's just kind of sad. Like, the whole thing was just kind of sad. It doesn't do anything to rectify the situation. It doesn't bring anybody back from the dead. I could understand if it was like your family member or something like that, and you were celebrating his death. Or I could understand if you're just a person who was really disgusted by a murderer, so you celebrate his death. But that's not my feeling personally. And I've met several times Meghan McCain, John McCain's daughter, and I've done a bunch of back when I was doing Kennedy regularly, I did a bunch of panels with her. And I disagree with her about just about everything. She's a very nice person, and I think she really loves her father. And I feel bad for, you know, his family that he left behind, and he's got children and grandchildren and a wife and friends and all that, I'm sure, and that sucks for all them. And I have sympathy for all that stuff, like all the family he left behind and all the people who cared about him. You know, they're very removed from the consequences of his actions, and they probably don't see things the same way I do, and they're just they're sad to have a loved one gone. So, you know, my condolences to them, and you know, I don't know what else to say. Sucks. I don't take any personal pleasure in him dying. However, I gotta say, my true gut first thought, my instinct on John McCain dying is, you know, As I've talked about on the podcast before, Rob, I've come more in the last couple years to, I don't know if I'd say I've gotten more religious. That's probably not the right way to describe it. But I have come to believe in something more. Believe that there is something to all of this existence, to the universe, to all that. As you know, we started out as a radical, libertarian, atheist podcast here at Part of the Problem, and we've morphed into a more Christian, conservative, moderate, you know, as that radical libertarianism is, that's just a little bit too crazy. What we're really trying to do is promote the good word of Jesus Christ here on the podcast. Are we? Yes, Rob, you got the memo.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that one.
I might have the wrong email address. Well, anyway, John McCain claimed to be a Christian. I don't know. I never trust these politicians when they tell you what their
that's part of the racket.
What their beliefs are. Yeah, you got to do that for votes. But I do sincerely mean this when I say that my first thought.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Relief?
No.
I felt a little relief.
No, I don't feel any relief because, you know, John McCain's like him being gone. It's almost like if one of the heads of a mafia family dies. And you know the next guy taking over is just as much of a killer as the last guy. It's not like there's no relief really for me because I think all of his policies and beliefs will live on. It doesn't really matter. Really, at this point, he's just kind of a symbol for those things. No, but this is what I genuinely feel. Is a sense of like, And again, I'm not like a religious person. There's no organized religion that I ascribe to, but I do feel that John McCain, who himself was a Christian, I'll assume. I feel like, man, he better pray. No, I understand this is an ironic statement, but he better pray that he's not right about that shit. Like, he better pray that you don't actually have to go to some next life and answer for what you did in this life. You better pray he doesn't have to meet his maker and he doesn't have to in some way pay for the immeasurable amount of carnage that he caused, like directly caused in this world. I mean, when you think about the number of deaths that are on John McCain's hands, man, he better hope there's no fucking accountability in the next world. If I were John McCain and I was on my deathbed, I would be terrified. Terrified.
Get me the priest, get me the holy water.
Holy shit. But no matter what you got me, I would just be terrified that I was going to have to answer for what I stood for the fucking hundreds of thousands of innocent people who were killed over the policies that he voted on and didn't just vote on. He was the champion of war. I mean, this is not an overstatement. John McCain supported every war of my lifetime. And America has not been on the moral correct side of any of them in my lifetime.
And he pushed for the ones we didn't get.
Yeah, that's right. The greatest thing Barack Obama ever did was stop John McCain from being president. Obama didn't do too many good things. You could probably, you could tally him off on a short list. But John McCain, of course, was a huge supporter of the war in Iraq and then a huge supporter of the surge in Iraq, which, according to the mainstream media, was a big success, even though we're still there to this day. And besides Afghanistan, it's the longest war in American history. Besides all that, but it was a huge success. But he was instrumental in the war in Syria. He was like the key figure from the Senate who was big on, you know, going over there and supporting, the people who ended up turning journalists over to ISIS and handing weapons over to ISIS. He's a big part of the reason why hundreds of thousands of people in Syria have died. He was a big supporter of the Saudi war in Yemen. I think his beef with Obama was that he didn't do more quicker. But, you know, man, I really do sit back and think, like, holy shit, you better hope you don't have to answer for this life in the next one, if there is a next one. So that's more or less the overview of my thoughts on John McCain dying. I think that what he stood for, supported, and championed were amongst the most evil policies that have that you could imagine. And if you're talking about any amount of evil that's been done in, say, the last, 30 years, I don't know if anybody has more blood on their hands than John McCain.
All right, I got a crazy John McCain question for you.
Sure.
Do you think he's got some philosophy that you and I just don't buy into of, like, a strong America? Or do you think he's a guy who got a lot of money somehow from the military-industrial complex and is just, like, straight-up evil? Was just championing caught, or that he deluded himself into thinking that this was the moral high ground when really it was self-interest?
Well, I mean, the answer to that question is, I don't know. I mean, that's the real answer. But if you're just asking me what I think, my suspicion is something more sinister than he just believed all of this.
I think you buy into what's convenient. And so, you probably kind of had some ideas for that we need a strong U.S. or the world would be in chaos, which I don't agree with. But then he probably took it too far because of some of the interest that backed him.
Maybe.
Doing that. But I don't know enough about.
Or maybe some people straight up had dirt on him. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That could
or
be.
Maybe he's just a corrupt person, because that's also something that happens. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But in actuality, the effect of the policies he stood for have just been, I mean, you can't overstate.
Well, look at it this way.
How terrible it is.
Yeah, if he had gotten in his way, well, we'd definitely be in war in Syria right now. You think we'd be at war with Russia? Or like, what war? Like, if John McCain could just wave his magical wand and have all the wars he wanted, where do you think we'd be at war?
Well, I think, look, when John McCain...
Iran?
Well, when he ran for president in 2008, he was really pushing for war in Iran. He made that joke that he got got in trouble for when he was like, what's that old Beach Boys song? Bomb, 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 bomb Iran. You know, fairly funny. But that's what he was pushing for. So, yeah, I certainly think war in Iran, I think, you know... More, we would have done more in Syria. I think if he was in charge, we would have pushed to overthrow Assad. And instead of Syria just being 500,000 deaths, it would be 500,000 deaths plus it would be Libya right now. Yeah, he'd probably push further and further toward war with Russia. So yeah, I think every single opportunity to go to war, John McCain, it's pretty safe to say John McCain would have pushed for that. And, you know, whatever you want to say about John McCain, he's dead. His policies live on. He's got a record that will, I think, be judged very harshly by history. That's my guess. But regardless of that, the most interesting part of John McCain dying has been the reaction. And it's the reaction from the mainstream media, who just adores John McCain, adores him. And not just the, you know, it's one of those things, like I say a lot on the show, you got to pay particularly close attention to the things that make everybody agree. So when you have these dynamic, like, it's like, MSNBC and Fox News are worlds apart, right? They're like mortal enemies. And, you know, you have someone like whoever, like Ted Cruz over here on one side of the political spectrum and Bernie Sanders all the way over here on this side. You have Obama versus Romney or Hillary Clinton versus Jeb Bush or, you know, like all when you have this dynamic where they present things as these are the warring tribes, or these are the sides of the political spectrum that completely disagree with each other. What I always suggest is pay particularly close attention to the areas where they all come together and agree. So I remember when Obama was president, you know, they'd be like, the Republicans are just obstructionists, and whatever Obama supports, they're going to be against it. And these guys, you know, Mitch McConnell and Barack Obama, they're just butting heads because they're such big enemies. And then something would come up like, we'd be like, oh, we need to, you know, expand military funding. And all of a sudden, Congress passes it, Obama signs it. Oh, we, you know, the NDAA says whatever the fuck the military-industrial complex wants. Congress passes it, Obama signs it. Oh, the Patriot Act expired. Well, we better re-up that thing. Congress passes it. Obama signs it. No one really covers it. It's just we're all agreed on, and that's the shit you got to pay attention to when they all agree. And one of the things that's interesting about John McCain dying is that everybody fucking agrees. If you look at anybody on MSNBC, anybody on Fox News, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, Republicans, Democrats, all of them, John McCain was a hero. That's just the standard fucking thing. And even people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Bernie Sanders, they're all singing the praises of John McCain, because that's just what you have to do. And, you know,
I was shocked and disgusted by this.
Yes.
There was no mention by anyone about the wars that he pushed for. Nothing. Just straight up, hey, this guy was a hero. We lost one of the good ones. And the fact that nobody took a different approach to that was mind-blowing. However, I didn't think it was so much, and maybe I'm just wrong on this, I didn't think it was so much that they're all secretly pro-war as much as I think they're all kind of pushing, hey, at the end of the day, government's good. And so when you have someone who's been there as long as he has, they all kind of have to push praise to go. Basically, it's the narrative. They're assuming the sale of, listen, at the end of the day, government's trying to do well by all of us. And so we just lost one of the guys who gave his entire career to working in government. And so they're just overlooking the other, you know, they're overlooking the war thing to pretend like if you just have a job in government, you can't do no wrong.
No, look, I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right. I think that's what it is. I don't think Bernie Sanders or Ocasio-Cortez are saying that they love war so much. No, you're right. It's much more that they love government so much.
But isn't that kind of sickening?
But,
yeah.
But there's something in that that's an important point, which is that it's not that they're so pro-war. They're not Lindsey Graham or John McCain. But war just isn't that big of a deal to them that it's more important than getting in the way of, oh, look how great government is. Right. Yeah. So it's still more important that we praise this guy. Oh, yeah, sure. He may have supported a few mass murder campaigns, but he gave his whole life to public service. Right.
Yeah. Also, I would say this is theoretical. Let's say you're Bernie Sanders and you think that government health care could actually, he doesn't believe this, but let's just imagine government health care could provide for everybody. And the fact that people are standing in the way of government health care means that they have death on their hands. You could say theoretically, sure. I have that perspective. So I would think that if you had a senator on the other side, you put together this whole grand thing and then that guy makes it that can't happen. Instead of taking the approach of like, hey, we're all on team government here, I'm going to praise that guy, you might actually take the approach, no, that guy's super evil. Like, I don't care that him and I worked at the same company. I could have saved a lot of lives and he prevented it. That's an evil guy.
But here's the crazy thing, right? So, right, I get the point that you're making. If you, and the counter to that point, or the other side of that point, is that someone like us could say someone who wants to socialize healthcare has blood on their hands. But it's reasonable to say that I don't necessarily believe Bernie Sanders wants people to die. I have a disagreement about him with what will save the most lives, right? So, and theoretically, Bernie Sanders could also give that leeway to a Republican. And say, okay, he wasn't for the Affordable Care Act, but he believed that in something else. It's not that he wants people to die. It's that he believes in something else. But when it comes to war, there's really no other way to look at it than innocent people are dead. And even if you, just getting back to your point, even if you want it, or to my response to your point, even if you want to be gracious and say, John McCain believed the Iraq War was the best thing that we could do at the time. The fact is that he got it wrong, and even he admitted this in his memoir, right? Even he admitted this. And hundreds of thousands of people have died because he got that wrong.
Isn't it crazy?
That doesn't even deserve a mention. Like, we can just praise this guy. Look, I'm not, this is the shit where, like, a lot of people will be like, oh, well, you know, the Democratic Socialists, they claim to be anti-war, so why can't you get on board with them? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweeted, John McCain's legacy represents an unparalleled example of human decency and American service. The guy who never saw a war that he didn't want to fight is an unparalleled example of human decency. That is really quite astounding. That's amazing. And it shows you where war really ranks in the moral universe of these democratic socialists. It's like, oh yeah, you could be for every single war. You can be responsible for slaughtering hundreds of thousands of Muslims. But, you know, as long as you don't tweet nasty stuff, we're okay with you. You would never, ever get any of these democratic socialists to say something like that about Ron Paul when he dies. And Ron Paul, of course, is going to live forever. But when, you know, if he doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, they would never say that about him. But John McCain, this guy gets this level of praise. Maybe it's just me. I find that to be a little bit sickening. Now, I'm not saying you can't say that, you know, hey, I'm sorry, my condolences to the McCain family. You know what I mean? Like, something, I'm not saying you can't
at
say something
nice. At
least
the word controversial.
Well, but controversial won't appear anywhere. But forget even controversial. an unparalleled example of human decency.
Like, in other words, when he died, I thought we would hear on the news, John McCain died, a controversial figure who maybe did blank, blank, blank on the positive, but was also at the forefront of pushing for wars on the negative. And then maybe, but this, what we're seeing instead is pretty insane. It's just, this is the greatest guy.
Yes. That's right. It's not even controversial to be for mass murder campaigns at every single turn. That's not even enough to be like, oh, this deserves an asterisk next to your, like, you're the greatest human being ever when you die. Not even a footnote.
So can I ask you, like, I would assume when Dick Cheney dies, we're not going to see what we're seeing with McCain. I think at least on that one, you'll probably see, like, I don't know. It seems to me mainstream media has more bought into the fact that Dick Cheney's a little bit evil.
Yeah.
So why do you think, though, Dick Cheney will take shit for that, whereas McCain won't?
I think Dick Cheney became the fall guy in a lot of ways.
Okay.
I mean, the thing about Dick Cheney is that he's so, like, even just looking at him, you'd be like, I'm pretty sure that guy's evil.
Right.
Like, he's fucking, like, petting a bald cat and, you know, just, like, sitting, like, he's going, wah-ha-ha-ha-ha at every turn. So it's hard to deny that. But no, I mean, look, if George W. Bush dies, I don't think you'll see that.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, it's something about Dick Cheney, like, personally. But McCain is, I mean, every bit as controversial, every bit as evil. And it's really, like, it's pretty amazing to see the coverage. And I gotta say, the other group, so of course there's the mainstream media, who, you know, and you would think, right, like, let's just say I'm not right about everything, which is impossible, but let's just say that I'm not right about everything. And, you know, CNN and these guys in the mainstream media, the New York Times and stuff, like, they're just doing the best they can, and they're honest journalists, and maybe they get some things right, they get some things wrong, but we all acknowledge the war in Iraq was wrong. Like, pretty much everybody, there's like no defending that. I remember there was at one point in the campaign when Jeb Bush said that even knowing what he knows today, he would still have fought the war in Iraq. And this really hurt him. And then he even had to walk it back. He's like, no, I didn't mean like if I knew what I knew today. I meant if I knew what we knew then. And he kind of walked it back. And John McCain, as I said, in his own memoirs, wrote that there's no other way to look at the war in Iraq than it was a big mistake. Of course, we always realize these things are a mistake right afterward, but then we never change the next policy. Like Obama said, his biggest regret of his presidency was overthrowing Muammar Gaddafi and not having a plan ready for the next day or whatever. But so we all acknowledge this was a mistake. And it's not just like a mistake like, oops, I spilled my glass. It's a mistake like, you know, a nation is destroyed. It's the longest war in American history besides Afghanistan. Hundreds of thousands of people have died. Thousands of our own military members have died. And CNN and the New York Times cheerled us into this war. You know, like they were all fucking just beating the drums.
Give me a W.
Yeah.
Give me an A.
Yeah, right. Like they were beating the drums for this war. And then when the guy dies, it's just like, no, that's not even a footnote. Not even a mention that, oh, yeah, also he did support these policies where all these people died. So the mainstream media, you see where they're coming from. The Democratic Socialists, as well as the Democrats, the Republicans, all those guys. Even if, as you said, like before we started the show, you were like, oh, you know, I enjoy reading the Wall Street Journal a lot. But my God, the stuff about McCain, you know, so it's like
sickening.
Yeah. So it's but that's good. It's good for people to be exposed, you know. So there you see all these different groups being exposed. But let's throw one more group into the mix. And this one, maybe just because of my own ideology, bugs me more than any of the rest. But this fucking, oh my God, this passive aggressive woman, Nick Sarwak, who's the chairman of the LP, tweeted out, I don't have the tweet in front of me, but he tweeted out basically the same thing that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said, like just this praise for McCain. And this is the guy who will dig up any, like he'll, you know, if somebody has Christopher Cantwell on their podcast, he's going to make a huge thing out of how we have to get rid of the racists in the party. But he can go ahead and praise the biggest warmonger of our time. That's not an issue. Doesn't even see a slight moral problem with the Libertarian Party chair, who represents the party, praising John McCain. You know, I thought the whole thing about being a libertarian was that we kind of see the violence of government as being illegitimate and immoral. That we look at the state and say, oh, you know, I don't think that they are this one benevolent institution that we should judge differently than we judge everybody else. You know, I get it. I do get it because I live in this world too. Like, just like the rest of you, I exist in the same universe you do. And I get where it feels a little bit different if we fight a war than if, say, one of your friends just went out and started shooting people, just started mowing people down. I get it, okay? But what logical answer is there for why it's more morally acceptable? Like, what is it about the state? Is it not, you know, aren't they just a group of people also? I mean, it's like, would you say if, let's just say it wasn't like, it's not just that Rob grabbed a gun and started shooting people up, but let's say like a university did it. Like a university had some members of, you know, their faculty or whatever, go out and start kidnapping people and murdering them. Or let's say a business did it. Let's say like Amazon or Google or someone like that just started kidnapping people and murdering them. Would you go like, would there be any part of you that goes like, well, this isn't just the same as murdering someone because there's like a big structure behind them. I mean, this is a big organization that did it. Oh, no, wait. Before you judge them morally, understand that they like democratically decided, like they had a vote before they just started murdering people. Or they decide, you know, they voted on who their leader would be, and then that guy decided to start murdering people. Wouldn't you just be like, I don't care if it's Amazon or it's Cornell University or it's fucking Google or it's Gas Digital or whoever. I don't care who they are. That is fucking evil. You can't just go on mass murder campaigns. Why is there such a fucking exception for the state? Now, okay, the Democratic Socialists, they're going to make an exception for the state because they're, you know, they're fucking statists. The Democrats, Republicans, they're statists. They're going to make a fucking exception. But the goddamn chairman of the LP who has the fucking nerve to go after good people like Tom Woods and Jeff Dice, to go after those guys because what they said something. Oh my God, Nicholas Sarwak has his panties in a bunch because Jeff Dice said the term blood and soil in a speech. Oh my God. And then he's going to praise the legacy of John McCain. What a fucking pathetic embarrassment that guy is. How fucking pathetic are you, man? You're gonna sit here and judge other people? Because, I mean, if someone gave, let's say like a David Duke died, and one of us tweeted out something like praising David Duke, this loser would go off on it. It would be like proof that you're a bad person because you had something that, let's just say I said something nice about David Duke. I won't be doing
clean
that.
Clean sheets.
But yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you're out all the time. You're just wearing it on your body and it stays white. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, that's right. But by the way, he hasn't been a Klansman since I think his 20s or his teens. I mean, that's not really who David Duke is. But
it's even,
you know,
better. He's managed to put that in the past. It's 30 yeah. years ago.
Yeah, he did better than John McCain did.
Yeah.
With something far worse than being a racist.
You know, addictive standing in one of those sheets is?
But let's just say, like I said, okay, well, David Duke was great on, you know, being against affirmative action and being against, you know, I mean, I don't really know that much about his policies, but I'm sure he was for like smaller government and against debt or something like that. Okay, David Duke was always good on these issues. That would be like, oh my God. Oh my God, that's it. How crazy is this that you could say something nice about this guy, you know? Like, but John McCain does, and you can praise him. Because, you see, he didn't commit what is the, establishment has decided are the great sins of our time. He was just supporting mass murder. That's okay. No problem with that. And by every libertarian measure, by the way, John McCain was horrendous. Horrendous. I mean, you know, if you want to just go like the fucking moderate libertarian route, you know, these wars also cost a lot of money. They also add to the deficit and the debt. They're not just mass murder campaigns. They're expensive mass murder campaigns. But, you know, it's like something like Christopher Cantwell was the example I used before, Richard Spencer, some of the guys we've had on the show before. It's like that's like really edgy and controversial. And by the way, I've never, ever tweeted anything praising Chris Cantwell or Richard Spencer. I just had conversations with them. And even that's considered like, ooh, I don't know, man. This is a little edgy, you know, and if I talk to, if I do an interview for Reason TV, or if there's any of like mainstream libertarians who I talk to, that's going to come up. It's like, I don't know, man, you know, people, Nick Gillespie, who, by the way, I enjoy very much every time he comes on the show. I like Nick a lot. I think he does a lot of good work. But if I sit down to an interview with him, it's like one of the topics that's going to come up. It's like, I don't know, man, you were pretty chummy with that Christopher Cantwell guy. I mean, you didn't even call him a terrible human being when you were talking to him. And I mean, he said mean things about black people and Jews before. But you can praise John McCain. No problem with that one. Because, I mean, he's never said mean things about blacks and Jews. He never even said mean things about Muslims. He just fucking slaughters them. What a fucking weird world we live in. God damn. As I can deal with this coming from other places, but man, you know, now that I am an official card-carrying member of the Libertarian Party, just makes me think maybe we need some new representation.
The Meacocks!
Meacocks! Man, that thing is actually stuck.
Yeah.
I thought that was the dumbest thing you've ever said.
No. Just like that that balding joke. That's going to work too. It's all going to come together.
I got to stop judging your jokes like right off the bat. I got to sit with them for a little bit.
They grow on people.
See how they resonate with the people. Because I'll tell you, I am nothing if not a believer in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And the more fucking tweets and Facebook comments I see that say Meacocks in them, I'm like, you know what? There was something to that thing. So I gotta let the market decide.
Everyone wants to be a cock. You can be a Meacock too.
Oh, goddamn. So John McCain is dead. His policies, unfortunately, live on. The ramifications of his policies live on. But the media, you know, they celebrate him. And they have the nerve to call this guy a maverick. That was the big thing. They kind of went away from that a little bit. But that's
what they made fun of him for that the last time around.
What do you mean?
When in the election, when he was trying to sell them, they were trying to sell themselves as being the Mavericks. They got parodied for that.
Well, it was because Obama was running against them. And when it comes down to it, the Republicans are kind of in the media world. The Republicans are kind of controlled opposition.
Right.
Not exactly controlled, but maybe that's not exactly the right term. But the Republicans kind of play the role of being the foil.
OK.
You know? So like when it was time to run against Obama, they were a little bit like, wow, this McCain guy, you know, blah. But in general, that term, maverick, came from the media. That's what they called him. Because he was such a maverick, you know? Tom Woods had a great newsletter about this. If you don't get Tom's newsletters, I highly recommend them. You sign up for his email list, and he sends them out pretty often. But he made the point that it's like, he was like, okay, they called John McCain a maverick. You know who was a real maverick? Was Ron Paul. Ron Paul was a maverick. They called Ron Paul Dr. No because he would vote no against everyone else time and time again. Like the entire Congress would be like, yep, this is good. And Ron Paul would be there saying like, no, I'm not voting for that. Nope. Raises the debt. I'm not voting for that. A real maverick is Pat Buchanan. Pat Buchanan was a guy who was a conservative Republican cold warrior. And when the Soviet Union fell and the Republicans kept on with the war machine, he was like, nope, I'm out. This is wrong. It was like the Persian Gulf War, the sanctions on Iraq. He was like, this is a moral outrage. I'm against this. We shouldn't be for it. That's a maverick. You see how the media treats actual mavericks. And this is the crazy thing, is that when Pat Buchanan dies, if Ron Paul ever dies, You won't see any of this shit. You won't see any of this. Because, you know, someone like John McCain is a maverick. And by maverick, they mean he would occasionally vote with the Democrats instead of voting with the Republicans. But you also, you know, you just see John McCain was a guy who never, you know, they may have sided with Obama over McCain, but McCain never pissed anybody off. Never pissed anybody off because it was just like, you know, you see it with Trump. You see it with Ron Paul, Pat Buchanan, a lot of these guys. It's like these are the guys who actually upset the establishment and actually stand for some things that they're not allowed to. And that's the treatment that they get. And that, you know, you could something like, isn't it amazing, right, that Ron Paul gets more grief from the mainstream media about having a few articles written that were not written by Ron Paul. But under a Ron Paul newsletter, there were a few insensitive articles that were written. And that'll be a controversy. But supporting every single war, nothing. What a fucking joke. And people wonder why the mainstream media isn't trusted. Ah, it's a weird time we live in. All right. There's my John McCain obituary. I'm done. All right, let's move on. Before we get to the legal stuff and all the, you know, Cohen and Manafort being found guilty, we'll get to that. We'll give our thoughts on that stuff in a little bit. But first, let's break it up and let's have a little bit of fun. Because this I saw while I was away. I guess this was last week. Bill Maher had former CIA head John Brennan on his show. And I think my jaw dropped as I was watching this interview. And it's you know, it hits on a theme that we've been discussing for a while now, where, you know, sometimes maybe it seems like I'm exaggerating when I say that the left has become the Cold Warriors. And that they're so, you know, when Donald Trump first got elected, and you can go back and listen to the episodes. I'm not like making this up. I tried to approach this thing with an open mind. See, I always remembered, because I started in this whole fucking game during the Bush years. And I remember what a disaster George Bush was. And I remember that the left had some decent points. Like, they were anti-war under Bush and, as you mentioned before, under Dick Cheney. They were somewhat anti-war. They were against the Patriot Act. I thought the left were the ones who were against the drug war and things like that. And so I was like, well, seeing those are really, really important issues. And when Donald Trump first got elected, I kept an open mind. I said, you know what? Maybe the Democrats will be, it'll be easier for them to be anti-war when it's a Republican who's continuing these wars. Okay, maybe they'll come back to their senses. Maybe they'll hate Donald Trump so much that they'll go, hey, there's a genocide going on in Yemen. We can blame this on Trump now. But it for the Democrats and for the majority of the left in America, not all of them, but a majority, they have failed the Donald Trump test as much as you could fail. They've said, Donald Trump says mean things on Twitter, so he's enemy number one, and we will side with the fucking CIA if it means that they're against Donald Trump. Because, of course, Donald Trump, you know, he said mean things about Muslims. You know, sure, the CIA tortured Muslims and lies us into wars where hundreds of thousands of Muslims get slaughtered and starts covert wars in other countries like Syria, where hundreds of thousands of people get slaughtered. But, you know, they don't say mean things. So I guess we're on their side. And it's like they're searching for this narrative where Trump is the unique evil. Obama was a really good guy and Trump is the unique evil. And therefore, I guess Brennan has to be a hero. For some reason, he has to be elevated to hero status. And I couldn't, like, it may seem like I'm exaggerating at times, but I couldn't have scripted this interview to prove my point more. So let's get into it. We're going to break this thing down and we'll pause and start again several times because this really, Like, I could not believe what I was watching. And I am cynical enough that that rarely happens with me. But this one did it. So let's start at the beginning of this, Rob.
First, he is a distinguished scholar at Fordham and the University of Texas and was President Obama's CIA director, who, you may have heard, recently lost his security clearance.
Hey, Rob, American I can't patriot, see any of it on John my Brennan. Screen. It's just not playing. It's like a still image.
Yeah, yeah. I got that on my end, too. So let's go with the audio, and I'm going to try and restore the video.
Okay, just pull it from the beginning. Let's start over from the beginning.
Yep.
But first, he is a distinguished scholar at Fordham and the University of Texas and was President Obama's CIA director, who, you may have heard, recently lost his security clearance, a true American patriot, John Brennan.
All right, let's already pause it. So if you're just listening to the audio and maybe you couldn't hear over the thunderous applause, Bill Maher said a well-deserved standing ovation, because at Bill Maher's show, this left-leaning show, the former CIA head gets a standing ovation, and Bill Maher introduces him as a true American patriot because, you know, Trump's against him because Trump stripped him of his security clearance. That's the reason. I don't know. You explain it to me. Maybe you know better than me. But this guy, the CIA head, he's the guy who gets a standing ovation because this is who is a left-wing hero nowadays. Man, we have lived to see everything if this guy is a hero. All right, let's keep going with the video.
Yes, I don't usually say it's an honor to have somebody on my show, but it is an honor to meet you and have you here. And I want people to know, we had this booking a long time ago. This isn't just because of the events of recent weeks. You were scheduled to come here, and I thank you for honoring it. And, you know, some people on the right have accused you of wanting to monetize. That's their argument against you. You're not here to monetize anything, are you, John?
No, I am not. I didn't ask to keep my security clearances. Former directors don't do that. We keep those clearances because sometimes those in government want to be able to avail themselves of our experiences, our expertise, our knowledge about certain issues. So people serve on commissions. Sometimes they serve on private sector boards, whatever, but this is the first time in 38 years that I haven't had a
pause it. Oh, sometimes they serve on private boards. So, you know, sometimes that happens. So in other words, yes, sometimes they monetize it. Now, I haven't actually heard any conservative saying that specifically John Brennan is trying to monetize his security clearance, but I have heard them say that people are monetizing them, and John Brennan himself just admitted it, basically, there. Oh, yeah, and sometimes they serve on private boards. Yeah, but that's not the point. The point is, he just knocking down straw men. Oh, I never asked to keep my security clearance. That's just what we do.
Also, didn't that feel like that question was handed to him, like, go ask this question?
Oh, whether it was handed to him or not, the entire interview is just lobs. Lobs.
Like, here, why don't you give us your side of the story here?
Yep, that's right.
And I said this outside to you, but there's something I'm picking up, and maybe I'm totally off on this, but he does this fake soft-spoken thing where there's something like he's playing like this innocent card in his voice, and I can kind of hear in his like voice patterns that it's phony.
Yeah, it's almost like he's a spy.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's keep playing.
And the basis for the revocation is bogus. Mr. Trump and his administration didn't adhere even to the process that they reaffirmed last year. And the politicization of security clearances, either the granting or the revocation, is a real threat to our national security, which is why so many people came out and opposed his action.
Pause it.
And so I certainly...
How is it a threat to our national security? You notice nobody ever has to answer that question. Oh, well, he didn't follow the process. Okay, so he started a new process. His new process is, if you call me treasonous, I'm revoking your national security. Okay, so I'm revoking your security clearance. Oh, well, this is dangerous to national security. How? Why does no one ask that question? Ever? How is this dangerous to national security? Like, specifically, how is John Brennan not having security clearance dangerous to our national security? Because I thought the left used to realize that that's a bullshit claim to just say, oh, it's dangerous to national security. Therefore, stop asking questions and go away. How? How is it dangerous? No one seems to think they have to say.
It's so stupid. The idea is that if there's a question about our security that only he can answer, that there's no other person that can answer, he won't be able to answer it anymore. And do any of us believe that that's true?
Hey, John Brennan, how do we drone bomb American citizens?
Right. And what are the questions that he knows?
Yeah. Oh, wait, no one cares about that anymore, I guess, huh? Oh, yeah, drone bombing. Oh, yeah, the whole drone program. Well, that's the guy who oversaw it. Oh, yeah, nobody cares about that shit anymore. Oh, hey, John, I wanted to know the most effective way to arm Al-Qaeda. Since you're the expert on that, could you fill me in? All right, let's keep playing.
Certainly, so many people came out for you.
Pause it. Pause it again. Yes, the entire military-industrial complex came out for you. Yes, a bunch of ex-spies, most of whom should all be in jail. Yes, they came out for you. Even Clapper came out for you. Even the guy who lied us into the war in Iraq and lied to the American people about the NSA's bulk data collection. Even that guy came out for you.
But thunderous applause from the sheep in the audience.
Unfucking believable. And this is Bill Maher's audience, man. Whew. This shit is just surreal. All right, let's keep going.
He said, please revoke my security clearance. It would be an honor. Considering what you did to...
Hold on, pause it. It would be an honor. Wouldn't it be dangerous to national security?
You mean two of these experts we can't call upon anymore?
Holy shit!
I thought we cared about the security.
Now just for principle, you'll say, please revoke my my security clearance, because that would be an honor. But wouldn't it be dangerous? I thought it was dangerous to revoke people's national security. Now we can just do it as protest, huh?
Oh, that's a great point.
That's interesting. That's so fucking interesting. So it's not about national security. It's just about being anti-Trump. Let's keep going.
Yeah, so everybody with a brain is on your side.
Yes, of course. Everybody with a brain. Just everybody with a brain doesn't question the CIA and says that they're always right about everything. That's everyone with a brain, I guess, Bill Maher.
That's also just so Bill Maher.
Yeah, that's it.
If you're thinking, of course you see it the same way I do.
Yes, of course. You can't possibly question the guy who created ISIS, who was drone bombing American citizens, who was just slaughtering people in the Middle East. You can't question that guy. You can't even ask the question, why? Oh, it's a matter of national security. Why? Can't even ask that, because that's something a brainless person would ask.
Jared and Ivanka still have clearances. You, one of the guys who was the architect of getting bin Laden, does not.
Yeah. Well, it seems as though Rand Paul was the one who put this idea in Donald Trump's head. And
dead to me, Rand Paul.
You know what? Rand Paul. Bill Maher, you're fucking dead to me. Rand Paul's dead to you because he questioned the fucking CIA. By the way, Bill Maher was a guy who fucking supposedly opposed these wars a while back. Had Ron Paul on and basically just agreed with him. He was like, yep, you're absolutely right. We're inciting more hatred than we're causing. Agreed with him on blowback when Ron Paul was making that argument. That basically, you know, slaughtering all these people in the Middle East has made them hate him a bunch. But so is it that big a shock to you that his son would also be skeptical of the fucking deep state? But he's dead to you? He's dead to you because he's skeptical about what former CIA heads are doing? Now, fuck Bill Maher. You're dead to me.
Has never served on the Intelligence Committee. He knows not of which he speaks, but yet he has this impression that I'm monetizing security clearances. So he continues to spout out on these issues. But again, I believe very strongly in the principle that national security is one of the most sacred and solemn professions in this government. And every American citizen deserves to have national security professionals, intelligence professionals, who are not going to be political, not going to be politicized, and no president ever should take that capability away from them.
Okay, let's pause it for a second. Not be political, not be politicized. Because this guy who's coming out tweeting that Donald Trump is guilty of treason, who's on MSNBC, who was Obama's CIA head, this guy isn't politicized at all. No, he's just beyond that. Rand Paul knows not of what he speaks, right? Well, he knows enough to know that you're fucking corrupt as shit.
I like how he's invoking the Shakespeare talk, too.
Mm-hmm.
Knows not for which he speaks.
All right, let's keep going.
You know, I've been having a hell of a time here on this show trying to get my guest to say the word treason. I think the president is guilty of that, and you used terms like that. You said after Helsinki, it was nothing short of treasonous, which sounds to me like treasonous. And then I noticed this last week, some people tried to get you to take it back, and you wouldn't. And again, I don't understand why people are so reluctant. I get it, it's a scary word. It's like, you know, don't break this glass case unless you need the... But when it's time to break the glass case, don't not do it just because it's a glass case.
Yes, and I'm not an official of the Department of Justice where I'm issuing an indictment of Donald Trump on treason. But there are two principal reasons why I use that term. One is that I think I exhausted all the other adjectives in the English language to describe.
Oh, I thought you weren't politicized at all. But you've exhausted every other word in the English language, so that's why you go to treason. Because, I've used up all the other words, and they don't really seem to be having that much of an effect. So I guess I'll just say treason. But I'm not like an official member of the Justice Department issuing an indictment. I'm just the former head of the CIA calling the president guilty of treason. But, you know, you can't have people who are politicized.
Donald Trump.
I'll tell you, you know what bothers me more than anything he's saying, or the fucking pussy softball questions that Bill Maher's asking, is the crowd reaction. That you could actually get a left liberal crowd this excited while a CIA head is spouting such utter bullshit and just hiding behind national security and professionals. What? Oh, man. All right, keep playing.
Fulfill his responsibilities as president of the United States, number one. Number two, but when I saw him on that stage in Helsinki, failing to be able to say to the world and to Vladimir Putin, Russia tried to interfere in our election. It never should have happened. It never should happen again. And if it does, Russia's going to pay some very severe consequences as a result. But he didn't do that. And so treason is defined as...
So he didn't say what I want him to say. He didn't say, I wanted him to say, Russia is bad, and they did this thing, and they can't do it again. But he didn't say that. So there's treason. That's it. It's almost as if the current president doesn't take orders from the former head of the CIA. Is that treason? Who the fuck is actually running this shit, man? I thought he's the commander-in-chief. He has to say what you want him to say? Keep playing this. This part's interesting.
As a betrayal of trust.
Treason is a betrayal of trust.
Aiding and abetting the enemy. And so that was the word that came to my mind. Now, I wasn't expecting Vladimir Putin to say, okay, you caught me. He's going to continue to deny this. But this was an opportunity for Donald Trump to fulfill his responsibilities to say, Russia, cut this out. Don't do it again. And if you do it, you're going to pay a cost. And be able to say to everybody...
So he didn't say, Russia, cut this out. And if you do it again, you're going to pay a cost. So Donald Trump didn't choose to say that. He chose to make nice with Putin. This, by the way, is the great crime that Donald Trump is guilty of. He's making peace with Russia. My God. Detente with a nuclear-armed superpower. My God. And not even a superpower. They got a GDP smaller than Italy. But they got a whole lot of nukes. You know, they sure as fuck have a whole lot of nukes. So this is the crime that Donald Trump's guilty of. I wonder, what about Putin? Does he get to call the United States out for any of their actions? Does he get to say, hey, you know, you guys have just been remaking the Middle East in your image. You've been launching wars of aggression and killing countless innocent people. You've absolutely destroyed the nation of Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Syria, Yemen. There's a fucking genocide going on in Yemen right now, man. And it's strictly because the U.S. is supporting the Saudis in what they're doing. There's a fucking genocide going on right now. Does he get to call us out for that? Oh, no. But we have to call Putin out for some Facebook bots? How fucking ridiculous is this, man?
I also love that he learned his diplomacy from Full House, that he's upset that Trump wasn't over there going, you better cut it out. Rush, I'm watching you. Cut it out.
He could have just gone with the classic Uncle Joey.
Yeah, if he had just done that, he would have been okay with the entire left.
But isn't it really unbelievable that they go, well, why is he guilty of treason? Well, he didn't say this sentence that I wanted him to say.
But there's no deep state.
Oh, no, not at all.
It's just our elected officials doing their jobs.
That's right. All right, let's keep playing.
And if he said that, he could have said, now, though, we have to work, United States and Russia, to be able to try to enhance stability and security around the globe. There are important things for the United States and Russia to do. I am very much supportive of trying to get relations between the two countries back on track. Critically important, the two largest nuclear superpowers in the world. Mm-hmm. But we cannot ignore what it is that the Russians try to do. And so when Donald Trump failed to do that, I was irate. Because I know how hard that professionals here in the intelligence community work to try to keep this country strong and safe. And for Donald Trump to be up there and to fail to say that.
He takes their side and not ours. That's a traitor. He calls you a lowlife. You, who spent your life defending this country, especially after 9/11, when we had all sorts of problems. And it could have gone way worse than it did.
You know what? Yeah, it could have gone way worse, Bill Maher. But I don't know if you've checked the record. It went pretty fucking bad. It went pretty bad. Like, think about that. How this is the crazy thing where other people will come at, like, the right-wing libertarians and be like, oh, you guys are, like, racist, or you guys are anti-whatever it is, like, the anti-cosmopolitan, or the fucking, like, we're these backward people. But, you know, how easy is Bill Maher able to brush off starting a war that we should never have been in? Like, the CIA lying us into a fucking war, torturing people, and destroying entire nations. And it goes like, okay, you know, things could have gone worse. They could have gone worse. Like, you can just brush off the hundreds of thousands of innocent people that were slaughtered that easily. Oh, you're right. Things could have gone worse. They always could have gone worse. But, you know, they could have gone better. They could have gone better. And it wasn't Brennan at the time, but I mean, it certainly was Clapper, who he said came to Brennan's defense before. But maybe it wasn't Brennan, but you know, the CIA was instrumental in that. It's like, yeah, it could have gone a lot better if the CIA hadn't lied us into a fucking war, hadn't tortured people, hadn't started a drone bombing campaign. Like, yeah, it could have gone a lot better. What a fucking softball lob question. So people like you, he called you a lowlife. Well, first of all, John Brennan called him guilty of treason for not saying what he wanted him to say. All right. And then Trump responds by calling Brennan a lowlife. And the outrage is that he called him a lowlife. Since when is calling someone a lowlife more of a like incendiary remark than saying someone's guilty of treason? Let's keep going.
General Clapper, is he a general?
Yes, he was.
Yeah,
yes, he is.
That they got to him, mm-hmm. like you could get to a guy like that. He's not on our side. No. You're not on our side. You are a traitor if you're attacking our generals and admirals and people who keep us safe. It's not that much more complicated.
Okay,
than that,
so if you so Bill let's McCray. Just get Bill Maher on the record. If you attack the military-industrial complex, you're not on, quote, our side. You're a traitor if you criticize the military-industrial complex, because that's our side, you know? That's just us. The military-industrial complex, that's us. It's America. It's the people. It's the hills and the mountains and the valleys and the roads and the cities and the country. That's us. The CIA. The NSA. That's us. You can't criticize them. Well, are you with us? Or are you them? That's us good, them bad. But of course, everyone who disagrees with Bill Maher is brainless, right? Wasn't that his word? Ah, fucking joke. Keep playing.
Raven and Jim Clapper and Mike Hayden,
all of
the
them.
Others, the ones who are speaking out. I didn't want to speak out after I left the government. I wanted to be able to, you know, retire and
right.
be able to spend time with family. But this is a very abnormal time. This is a very abnormal
yes.
presidency. And the stakes are so high. That's why I've decided to speak out and be outspoken.
I can see it's not...
What a hero. He's not just taking his CNN dollars and working. MSNBC. Yeah, whatever it is. I mean, what a hero.
Yes, that's right. I really wanted to go away. It reminds me of when Mitt Romney used to always say, I never wanted to be president.
Right.
Like, really? But you ran for it twice. You seem to kind of want this. Now you're running for Senate. You seem to kind of want it. Really? Oh, thank you so much. That's right. All right, let's end. Bill Maher, of course, agrees with him.
Easy for you.
It's not.
It's, I see it. Believe me, I've been talking to people on TV for 25 years. I can see when it's not easy. And people don't generally go into the CIA for publicity.
Pause it. Good one, Bill Maher. People don't usually go into the CIA for publicity. Okay, fair enough. How about people who go into being correspondents and contributors for MSNBC? Do they do that for publicity? How about people who go on Bill Maher's show Real Time? Oh, wait, hold on. I thought you said at the beginning of this that you booked him before his security clearance was revoked, right? So he already wanted to go on your show. How about former heads of the CIA who publicly claim that the president is guilty of treason? Do they do that for publicity? No, of course not. Good one, Bill. You don't go into the CIA for publicity, do you? You're right. You got him. This guy wants nothing to do with publicity. He's doing everything he can to stay in the shadows. Am I right? That's why he's on the TV all the time, because he doesn't want publicity. Keep going.
So, let's take the opposite of that. Donald Trump, who confesses everything openly. What do you make of this strategy that seems to be working so beautifully? Like this week, he just said right on the air, I hired Jeff Sessions as the attorney general totally because I expected his loyalty. I mean, that to me, that's impeachable. Well, the thing he said about to Lester Holt, about he fired Comey. He said it out loud. He said, Russia, if you're listening, I hope you can find Hillary Clinton's emails. I feel like if these things were things we hacked, if we found surreptitiously, if we got a hold of his diary, oh my God, look what he said. We'd be like, we got the smoking gun. But because he says it blatantly and out front, people seem to just accept.
Well, he's trying to normalize all this behavior.
Normalize.
And he's also trying to undermine the institutions of government and those individuals who he believes threaten him. And so, therefore, he's trying to undermine the intelligence community, the law enforcement community. He's taken a page out of the playbook of autocrats and authoritarians around the world who try to co-opt judiciaries, who try to delegitimize the free press.
So he says he's trying to undermine the intelligence community. God, I love that term, the intelligence community, right? Like, they're just basically a bunch of hippies who fucking, you know, live together and water each other's plants and, you know, talk about their days, the intelligence community, the network of fucking spy killers, in other words. But then he says he's trying to undermine law enforcement. Like, I wish that was fucking true. Donald Trump, the guy who praises the cops and the military at every fucking turn that he can, is trying to undermine law enforcement. God, I almost wish that part of what Brennan's saying was true. Let's go.
I like his just his pants face. For all those at home, subscribe on Gas Digital. You can watch the video feed as well. What's our promo code?
POTP.
Yeah, POTP.
Yeah, come on, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com.
And then you too could be seeing Brennan's cream his pants face.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
Back to it.
Who try to use intelligence security services to go after their rivals. So Donald Trump is the typical authoritarian who is trying to control power. And as he becomes more desperate, and I think that's what we're seeing now, because the walls are closing in on him, as all the people who used to work with him are now cooperating or testifying about what happened. I've been angry because we have somebody in the Oval Office who has really denigrated the office of the presidency. His dishonesty, he's unethical, he doesn't have principles. And I am very concerned, though. More than angry, I'm worried. Because now we are in a crisis.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the Republicans, John McCain, a national treasure and hero, are... our thoughts and prayers go out to John McCain and his family. I got into some real Donnybrook fights with John McCain over policy. I never once questioned his integrity and his interest in doing what is best for this country. But since John McCain has left the Hill, the Republican spines have gone with him. And there needs to be some reckoning in the Republican Party that we can't allow this to go on.
And we have an election coming up, and I'm trying to convince people, and it's hard because, you know, a lot of us in the past said, this is a very important election and blah, blah, blah. This is the one. I think we are in a crisis that is the third great crisis in American history, more than the Depression. First, of course, the Revolutionary War, whether we would even become a country. Then the Civil War. People usually say then the Depression. I don't think the Depression got at what is most fundamental about this country. It was economic, but I don't think it threatened the rule of law as we do.
All right, so let's pause.
Would you rank?
I don't even know, man. How do you even take that apart? This is worse than the Great Depression. People fucking starving. This is worse. This is worse than that, man. This is the great crisis, is that Donald Trump is fucking questioning the CIA. My God. And just think about the mentality, right? And this is the fucking gangster government killer mentality, where you'd say someone like John McCain. John McCain. Now, me and him may have disagreed all the time, but I always knew he was a great guy. Like, he may have thought we should invade a country where I think we should just use targeted drone strikes. But at the end of the day, I knew John McCain was a good man. But Donald Trump went and tried to make peace with Russia. I mean, that's really what's being said here, right? That is what he's saying. John McCain, the man who never saw a war he didn't want to fight, and the head of the CIA who armed Al-Qaeda, which, you know, the branch of al-Nusra that turned into ISIS, and really they were already ISIS, but whatever, that's beside the point. The guy who supported ISIS has just, between John McCain and John Brennan, the amount of dead people that are on their, the amount of blood that's on their hands. Well, it would probably take a long time to actually tally it up, but it's a lot. It's a lot. But we're two killers who, at the end of the day, even though we disagree, we know we both want to kill. So that's okay. But Donald Trump sat down with Vladimir Putin and was kind to him? That's really fucking, that's just outrageous. Then this is worse than the Depression. You know, we've had a few difficult times. We've had a few true tests of our union. I mean, you know, there was the Revolution, there was the Civil War, there was the Great Depression, but Donald Trump saying nice things about Vladimir Putin. I mean, I think this one, it's definitely worse than the Depression, because that was just an economic problem, right, Rob? I mean, it's just economics. Who really cares about that? This is Bill Maher, the guy who roots for a recession if it'll hurt Donald Trump. Talk about being removed from fucking reality, from being removed from what real suffering and struggling is. Well, that was just the Great Depression. It was just an economic problem. I mean, sure, people are like starving to death. People are literally, you know, untold, like immeasurable amounts of actual human suffering. I mean, that's one thing, but Donald Trump didn't say what I wanted him to say in Helsinki. This is a real crisis. This is real, man. I'm not fucking adding anything to this, am I? You tell me if I'm fucking wrong. This is Bill Maher, and he's going to say Rand Paul is dead to him? Good. Good. I hope Rand Paul is dead to you. To anyone who subscribes to this line of logic, I would hope I'm dead to you and everyone who's anything like me is dead to you. Let's watch the end of this shit show.
The crisis we're in now, that way?
I would, and I think it's going to get worse before it gets better, because don't forget, Donald Trump has the authority of the President of the United States in his hands.
Right.
In terms of what he can do domestically here, as well as what he can do internationally, to try to distract attention, whether or not he's going to pursue some type of foreign adventure, military or otherwise.
Right.
But
military or otherwise.
What he's doing to this country, he's dividing us. We Americans, as you pointed out, Revolutionary War and Civil War, we fought hard for the freedoms and liberties that we have right now. And so he's dividing Americans. And so I'm really concerned that as he continues to play to his base, he's further dividing us.
Let's pause that for a second. And I'm afraid he could start some conflict, military or otherwise. I don't exactly get what otherwise means, but if you mean starting a military conflict, what do you mean? Like starting a war in Iraq based off bullshit fucking propaganda? Like overthrowing the government of Libya based off bullshit propaganda? Like inciting a civil war in Syria, even if it means siding with fucking Al-Qaeda? Is the concern actually that he's going to start a military conflict? I thought what you're accusing him of was being too friendly with another country.
I also say, the left being sorer losers than the right does not make the country more or less divided than it ever was.
Oh, no. You have to understand, we're so divided right now. See, that's the difference between the Civil War and now, Rob, is that we're so divided.
Yeah.
In the Civil War, you know, we were just fighting for liberties, as John Brennan would say. We were just fighting for liberties, but now we're divided. You know, in the Civil War, when we were actually taking up arms against each other, when Abraham Lincoln actually invaded his fellow citizens, conscripted an army in the North to go fucking fight his fellow citizens for wanting to secede. Don't get it twisted. Not for having slavery, which, of course, you know, every decent person is against slavery. But you know where else there was slavery? In the North. The Emancipation Proclamation didn't even end slavery in the North, only in the South. There was still slavery in the North. And oh, by the way, if you consider conscription slavery, then Abraham Lincoln actually added additional slavery, which of course it is, and he did.
And definitely more deaths.
Yeah. What was it, 600,000 people died in the Civil War? I don't know what our population was, but it was a nice chunk. But no, but the difference between the Civil War and now is that, you know, we're divided. Let's keep playing.
I'm really concerned about whether this could spill over into the streets. And so I don't know what the...
That is fear-mongering at a different level.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't even completely disagree with him. I think it could spill over into the streets. I think we are incredibly divided. But you know what doesn't help that division at all? Is the former head of the CIA saying Donald Trump's guilty of treason for... Hey, if you want to say Donald Trump's guilty of treason, I don't know that I would necessarily disagree with you. I mean, look, you could definitely make a strong argument that siding with Al-Qaeda makes you guilty of treason. Okay? Right? I mean, that's treason. Because even when he said before, I mean, he gave one bullshit example of what treason is, where he said treason's like being like disloyal or distrustful or something. I forget what he said earlier in the interview. But then he said, you know, siding with an enemy. Now, Russia's not an official enemy of the United States of America. But you know who is? Who is an enemy? Al-Qaeda, they're a fucking enemy of the United States of America. Like, no doubt, I'm sorry to offend my truther audience base, but I'm one of the people who believes that Al-Qaeda attacked us on 9/11 and that they declared war on us way before then. So I actually do think Al-Qaeda is an enemy. And you could absolutely make the argument that by siding with the Saudis in the conflict in Yemen, that Donald Trump is basically, you know, we're refueling jets and supporting what is Al-Qaeda's air force in Yemen. And that, you could argue, is treason. The problem with that is that if that's treason, then directly arming Al-Qaeda in the conflict in Syria is really treason. And you know who did that? One, John Brennan. So that's really a fucking problem. But yeah, sure. If I would actually be fine with saying that both Trump, Brennan, and Obama, as well as many others, are guilty of treason. Let's keep going.
The principal protagonist in this drama is going to do. But I surely hope that those adults and those people in the White House and in the cabinet and in the Congress are going to recognize that they need to act before there's a real disaster. And by act, I mean whether it's going up to Donald Trump and saying, this has got to stop, you are ruining this country, and we're not going to tolerate it any longer. They cannot turn a blind...
He's really into how effective direct talk is.
Yeah.
That if you just walk up to someone and say, stop, like that's how many people he's tortured that in his experience, if he walks up to people and just says, what you're doing's not nice, you can't do it, they just fold and listen.
Yeah,
that's does not live normal life where that does not work at all.
And like, you're just going to tell Donald Trump, hey, you're a bad boy. Stop it. Treat Donald Trump like he's a new puppy.
Blind eye to this. They have to forget about their political affiliation. They need to do the right thing.
John, thank you for everything you've done for this country and what you're doing now. It means a lot to all of us. John Brennan.
So the CIA is going to cut me a check directly for this, right?
Yeah. What, like, I don't know, Rob. Is that not astounding?
The whole thing, buddy. I mean, especially just the crowd. Fucking sheep.
I said the thing that offends me the most about any of it, and there's so much there, but the thing that offends me the most is how enthusiastic the crowd is. That they're so behind him. And it is as simple as, we hate Donald Trump. We're on the opposite side of him. We're for you. Because if you think about it, like, the people on the left and Bill Maher's audience in general, they were always so, they're into the narrative of America being wrong and our military being wrong and the CIA being wrong. Like, they're into that narrative. And, but it doesn't matter. Their hatred of Donald Trump blinds, and this is why people call it Trump derangement syndrome, which I think is a really, really great term.
TDS?
Yeah.
Sounds sexy.
Sure does. But it's because people hate Trump so much that they lose all sight of reality, of principles, of anything, because it's just whatever will hurt Donald Trump. And if we've got a guy in a suit who used to be a big title who's saying Trump is bad, then we're with you. And for Bill Maher to not even, you know, to have this guy, like it gets to a point where it's like, look, I understand Bill Maher is a comedian. I'm a comedian too. I get where you're not actually a professional journalist, but it gets to a point where it's like some type of malpractice to have someone like that on and not even give them one, not even hard question, one non-spoon-fed question, not even a little bit of pushback about anything, nothing, you know? And it's funny, it's like I was saying at the beginning when we were talking about McCain, but I'll get shit for having a fucking, you know, an alt-right guy on the show. And they'll be like, you didn't give him any pushback. But if you watch any of the interviews I had, I give him way more pushback than what Bill Maher just did right there. Like, no, if I have someone on the show as a guest and it's not formatted or promoted as we're going to have a debate, then yeah, I'll be a gracious host and I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to like be nasty or overly confrontational, but I'll always kind of push back and say like, well, here's what I think. This is my problem with that. None of that from Bill Maher. None of it. And I'm not dealing with killers. I'm dealing with people who have frowned upon ideas. It is really, holy shit. It is just fucking... It's amazing that this is reality. All right. We're getting up pushed up against the end of our time here. And so I'm sorry, I didn't expect that to take so long. By the way, I said let's take a quick break and have some fun with that video, and then I just got furious the whole time.
It was hot fire, buddy.
But you know what? That's what's fun for me. Okay? So we all have our own, you know, our own pleasures in life. All right. So we only got a few minutes left. So I guess maybe we could talk about this a little bit more on the next episode or whatever. But we got to talk a little bit about the Paul Manafort case and the Cohen case. A little bit more about Cohen, I guess. But they've all been found guilty of some charges. Paul Manafort, it's like tax evasion and financial crimes. Cohen was a little bit more directly. He implicated Trump a little bit more in his shit because there were actually campaign finance violations there. But I gotta say, Here's my take, and we'll just do a couple minutes on this, and then we'll get out of here. But more or less, I'd say this. When the special counsel investigation first got started, and you can go back, Rob, we've been talking about this for quite some time now. And look, we both said from the very beginning that this is bad news for Donald Trump politically, because what happens when you have one of these special counsels on you is they're like a pit bull, and they're going to grab a hold of you and shake until they get something. They're not, you know, I predicted early on that this was going to go a lot like the Clinton special counsel, where they start off investigating Whitewater, and by the end of it, they've got you for a blowjob, you know? So I said right away that there was no collusion, and even, of course, collusion isn't a crime, but there was no conspiracy with Russia. Donald Trump's not a puppet of Russia. All this stuff was just fucking ridiculous. And at least, look, I always got somewhat of an open mind. Like, if new information is presented, I'll take a look at it. But I was pretty convinced they wouldn't find anything in terms of the whole Russia narrative. But I did say that what they're going to do is be able to interview, subpoena, go through all of Donald Trump's friends, his people, his files, all that shit, and they won't stop until they've gotten something. And I was like, look, Donald Trump has been a real estate mogul in New York for far too long to not have some crime on him. They're going to get him for some fucking shit. Like, it's going to go bad for him.
Dude, they're getting him on the way that he expensed his hookers.
I mean, I can't believe that this is all they have. I cannot fucking believe it.
Poor accounting on how you pay for
all
hookers.
Of this, they got Manafort being guilty of tax evasion in fucking 2005, I think. And they got Cohen for paying off Stormy Daniels and maybe another hooker. That's what they fucking got him on. So that now Michael Cohen said, I guess after he was convicted or after he copped a plea, that he was directed by Trump, right, to pay off Stormy Daniels. Now, the only controversy there was over whether Trump, which they had already admitted, Rudy Giuliani, his lawyer, and Trump had already admitted that they reimbursed Michael Cohen for the payments. But now I guess the controversy is over whether not only did he reimburse him, but he told him to pay off Stormy Daniels and then reimbursed him. I mean, it is grasping at straws if you ever have seen that. But it is really, really amazing that this is all that they've gotten so far. And at least to me, and maybe I'm wrong, this is a very novice opinion, but I gotta say, it seems to be indicative of not having anything else, that this is what we've seen after coming up on almost a year and a half of the Mueller investigation. Now, that's the reality of the situation, is that they've got nothing on this Russia narrative. After hearing about Russian collusion every single day, all day long, for fucking over a year, they've got nothing on that. That is the reality of the situation. However, this is very bad politically for Donald Trump. Very, very bad politically for him. Because it doesn't matter the nuance. This isn't how the general public operates. And God bless him. I've said many times on the show before, if everyone was as obsessed with politics as I am, we'd all starve to death. So I'm glad that there are people who are just living their lives and not as, you know, not as invested in the minutiae of all this stuff as I am, and some of you guys who listen are. But because of that, all that people really see is that a lot of people around Donald Trump are getting convicted, and where there's smoke, there's fire. And this is going to create an interesting situation as you see the Democrats, who are trying their best to win back the House and move forward with impeachment proceedings. Now, of course, even Michael Cohen, even the fact that he would implicate Donald Trump in a crime. I mean, could you imagine, Rob, any witness who would have less credibility than Michael Cohen? I mean, a guy who's been on the record lying left and right, who's only implicating Trump when he's being convicted and is trying to get the prosecution to go easy on him. But even that, it's not even clear if what he said Trump did, if that is a campaign finance violation. You know, in terms of not disclosing everything the campaign does, you could have gotten every sitting president in the last 50 years for that. So they are really grasping at straws. I don't see any story here that's actually the only big story I see is that the Mueller team still has nothing on Donald Trump. I actually can't believe they haven't found like any money laundering scheme or anything fucking bigger than this at this point. But of course, the mainstream media is flipping out like this is the biggest deal ever. So I guess summarizing shortly, that would be my take. Anything to add, Robbie Burns?
Yeah, two quickies. First is, do you think Trump fucked up big time that he didn't kind of stay loyal to Manafort and Cohen and kind of make it clear, hey, guys, just fucking take the fall and I'll give you the pardon and we'll all move on with our lives?
No, I think that they get squeezed and they flip.
No matter what.
And that's, well, I think what happens is that they start realizing that it'll be very bad for Trump politically if he pardons them. Because it'll look like he's getting his friends off, which he kind of is.
Right.
And so once they realize that, and once you squeeze people enough, understand, like, take Manafort, for example, right? The FBI busted into this guy's house with a no-knock raid while his wife was still in the shower.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the time to do it.
But I'm saying, you don't, you know, you got to understand the amount of pressure that they're able to put on certain people.
She's in the shower. Get in there. Go, go, go. Like, that's on purpose. They're fucking bugging the house at that point. They know that someone's in the shower. You're going to get that good shriek. Ah!
It's some real sick shit, man.
All right.
But so this is how much pressure they can put on people.
All right. And then I was reading, I'm talking above my pay grade on this one, but I was reading that the guy who's defending Cohen now is like an old, I guess, confidant or worked with the Clintons quite a bit. Now, you could take the perspective of, well, this guy's a real expert when it comes to these super high profile legal things. Or you could go, oh, the other team somehow just got their hands on an asset. Almost like a CIA spy kind of approach. Maybe I've watched too much Homeland in my life. But
you never watch too much Homeland. Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't know about that one. I'm not up on that, so I'll just refrain from comment. But yeah, that's interesting.
All right, run your mouth.
Run your mouth podcast, everybody. At Robbie the Fire on Twitter. I'm at Comic Dave Smith, of course. I love you all, and I will see you soon. Peace.